You know what I feel like? You know when you bundle into a classroom late and you your mates? You know, like, you open the door and English has started, right? Mrs. Byrne is doing a lesson and you, like, all three of us are like, all right? And she's looking at all three of us. We've come cutting across the playground. You know, except she probably saw us from the window dicking about in the playground.
We haven't got one teacher. We've got a few thousand teachers standing in front of us.
Yeah, right. And that's you. That's the Brownload listeners right now. You're the teachers. Yeah. And you're clearly going, well, this podcast is late. You've uploaded this one. What's going on? But not only, it's not like, oh, one of us has turned up late. Oh, Kedge isn't here. Satch isn't here. Tommy isn't here. All three of us have been off radar. All, like I say, we're coming into the Brownload classroom and we're going,
We're here now.
Sorry, miss.
Carry on.
And she's now going to look at Satchin because he's the sensible one. I'm going, Satchin, why are all three of you here? Satchin?
You know, I mean, you know, it's not...
Oh, no, he's having shit himself!
No, I haven't shit myself. Look, at the end of the day, we haven't come in late holding bags of McDonald's because that's when you know you've just done a detour and do you know you've just...
I'm coming in with samosas, I'm telling you.
Do you know what I mean? Because when we were at school, people used to do that. You just come in with like a coffee or something. Like, well, we know you're late because you've just faffed around for at the flipping... Do you know what I mean?
He's walking and pulling his trousers up. Yeah, it's like, whoa, where you been?
But do you know what I mean?
It's hard from PE to do the Brownlow podcast. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Sure. And that's what I mean. Like, it's none of that. Genuinely, miss, we've just been late. It's been busy. It's been a busy week. Then you know, like, everyone's just been doing shit. That's all it is. I'm sorry.
Can you imagine? Coming into a classroom and telling your teacher, look, miss, I've just got a lot on at the moment. I don't want to bore you with it. But life,
you know what I mean?
Life is beating me right now, miss.
Do you know what? But that's the thing. When you're a kid, you don't have these problems. When you're an old ass man, like us three, you know, there's just always, and juggling the three of us to get together is quite difficult. So if you're listening to this on the Thursday, just know we're recording this at 12:45 in the afternoon.
This
on
is the closest
Thursday.
That you're going to get to a radio show because this is literally the turnaround of this is going to be real time.
Yeah.
Satch's exact words were, let's not F about, let's record this as quickly as possible and get it uploaded as quickly as possible.
And I tell you what, as soon as I finish this, I'm going to a 50 Cent concert.
Are you really? Wow.
I'm off.
Where are you tonight?
It's at Tottenham Stadium.
One of my mates
just literally messaged last night. He goes, oh, I've got some tickets, you want to go? I was like, yeah, cool, let's go. I think I'm in the box as well, mate. Fancy.
Oh, lovely. The box of Spurs are nice.
Yeah, of course they are. Everything, the stadium is spectacular.
I think, fingers crossed.
No, mate, bro, it's a warm evening, sun's shining right now, so that'll be a hot, open stadium, and I can only say by the Robbie Williams experience at Emirates, the rivals to you, Kedge, that warm night stadium experience for a concert, and as the light dips about sort of 9:30, you know, 10 towards the end of the concert, it's beautiful, bro. I wish you were on the cocktails, though, Satch, because you would just... It would elevate it to another level.
But, you know, I, in a weird sort of way, Tommy, and I said this last week on the podcast, I don't want to moan about the weather, but I think I'm going to moan about the weather.
But you are.
It's too much. I'll tell you what, I've just not slept for 2 weeks, and that's the problem.
Yeah. But also, is it fair to say there are more moaners this year than I've ever noticed.
Yeah, agree.
And it's really prominent. There's lots of what I'll call...
That's just you in your hotel room.
That was you in your hotel room, yeah.
Oh, mate, I'll come to that in a minute. But there was... You both did the same joke. That's hilarious. Satch, you got the same sense of humour as Kedge.
Well, that's the other way around. Seeing your face like that is the only thing I can think of.
No, but you know when you meet people, you're all right. They go, like all the school mums around the school gates and parents, everyone's moaning about it.
It was to the point where even I was with Kedge on Tuesday, and I think it was the hottest day of the year. And Kedge must have come up to me, I'd say about six times, Tommy, and he goes, do you want to go inside for a bit? Because he goes, I think you need to go inside for a bit. I'm like, I'm sorry, mum. I'm not going inside. Like, I need to stay.
I have never been worried about Satch, right? Because this guy, because he's had to stand outside for a long time DJing.
Well, just point out to everybody, it was a rooftop Virgin Radio party. You were organising it, but you got Satch to DJ. Keep the money in the family. I like that.
Yeah.
It was just Jack's climax.
Yeah.
Satchin or Hops.
And a Desi photographer as well, recommended by Satch. So
You know what? I would love to know. Sorry, I'm going to say it, Ked. I would love to know that there's some Gore people at, who work with you kind of going, have you noticed he just employs like his own people? His own people.
Yeah, he's definitely going around.
You know, that's what their culture's like. They like they look after their own. You know, they support their own. They develop, you know, they give them money.
I'm doing the brown pound for diversity in the brown the musical yeah. building.
You know I heard you're in a few weeks as well, Tommy, for something.
Not only that, I'm in on a freebie. That's the annoying thing. Because Ked goes, oh, you know, they put me in charge of South Asian Heritage Month, right?
No, but it's cool. Look, you're worming your way in. It's cool. We're getting in there.
Sat had to do a few free ones as well first. Sat had to do a few free ones.
Can I just say this? I don't want to worm my way in anyway. Right? The fact is...
No, look, Tommy, it starts at the back door.
No, I don't want the back door. I don't want that backdoor action. I'm doing it because we have established broadcaster, Harpscore, and I having a chat about this industry, and I'm hoping that we get to help some youngins out there.
I'm going to come to that, by the way.
Yeah.
Is Sean Akbar on your panel as well?
Oh, is he really? Oh, good. Yeah. Good. He's a good one.
So back to the weather. Yeah, Kedge must have come up to me about six times. He goes, Satch, just go inside for a bit. I'm like, brother, I can't go in. It's even worse when you go inside and it's nice and cool and you come back outside. I said, look, Kedge, I'm outside now. I'm just going to stay here.
No, fair enough. And was it a good party Tuesday? I'm sorry, you know, and I know I was scheduled to come, but it's okay. So let me just wrap up a couple of things. This podcast is late because we've just had the maddest week. Mm. We'll go into that in just a second. All of us have been busy. There's been events going on. That Tuesday night, Tuesdays is really when we record the podcast.
Yeah.
You had the Virgin event and we knew that. And then we were going to try and record on the Wednesday. That didn't happen yesterday because I was in voiceover. And then Monday, I was doing a corporate up in Birmingham. You guys, everyone was... So it's just been...
Everyone was busy, yeah.
Yeah. But look, I think, you know, 6.5, coming on 7 years of doing a podcast, it's tricky now and then, coordinating diaries and dates. But so apologies, Miss Brownload, Teacher Brownload, Murphy there. But at least this is kind of, as Ked said, as close to a live as possible. But let's rewind back then.
Nah, sod Miss Brownload. We'll report her, mate.
She slapped my ass. There you go. Can I be honest? This is probably really wrong. Yeah, I'm going to say it anyway.
Here we go.
You hear about like these female teachers that cracked on to their 17, 18-year-old boys. I'm talking about the legal ones, right?
Mm.
I'm always a little bit jealous.
Oh God, Tommy!
Can you say that? No, like, man. You can't say that. Can't say that.
No.
But if they're eight, I'm not talking about the weird ones. I'm not talking about them being underage. But if you're a sixth former and there's a 30-year-old teacher who's kind of hot, I like. No, it's gonna, no. Okay. Satch is going quiet. Okay,
no. I mean, because that's never the case. It's always like the fellas, isn't it? Like, I mean, just now, 10 years ago, it came out that my head of year when I was in year seven was like doing some inappropriate things. It got banged up.
Yeah, see, that's different. That's on that. But I'm saying, you know, I'm saying it. When I was 17, 18, in my upper sixth, right? Me and my form tutor, you know, we got on. Let's just say we didn't. But we got on. I could tell because I was doing flamenco, right? It's part of my performing art. I was.
That is hilarious.
She used to love it. So when we used to come into like registration.
No, Tommy. She used to laugh.
No. She'd go, Tommy, bust some flamenco for the class. You know, like, part of registration. So I was straight. But no worries, miss. I got up. And I know she was looking at me. And I know I was looking at her. And there was a little vibe. And sometimes I think about looking her up and going, what are you saying? But I won't say her name. But she was, you know, she was Scottish. She was fun. She got me. I used to have. I at first when I started because I did flamenco for 2 years. I used to hide it in the first year because I was nervous that other guys would take the mick out of me, and then I didn't care. I was like Billy Elliot, like an Asian Billy Elliot. So I was hiding my dance.
Billy Smelliot.
why have I got to be smelly? Just go on. Just because I'm brown. Is that what you're saying, Seth? Yeah.
No, of course not. Just smell anyway, when you're a kid.
It's been a crazy week. Can I just wrap up my week for you and just kind of tell you how crazy this week's been? So here we are on Thursday, and literally, I don't think my feet have touched the ground. I've only slept at home once or twice in the last week as well. So last Thursday, me and Richard Blackwood did a show together at Top Secret Comedy Club. That was great. That sold out. That was good fun.
Nice.
In London. Then on Friday, me and Richard were at Glastonbury together doing a comedy set there.
Ooh.
And can I say, this was my first Glastonbury. I went into Glastonbury thinking it was like a rave, because I've only ever done dance festivals. I've not done I've done a Mella. I've not done this kind of festival. I had the best time. I had the best time. And I know we were privileged and we had a lovely experience because they give us a caravan, and that caravan is like 30 yards from the tent that we're performing in. So, you know, like the field, the site of Glastonbury is miles. Like, you know, where we parked, we had to park our car somewhere far away, but where we were staying was right on site in the action.
Love it. Love it.
So that was great. It meant that you could just nip back to your caravan, go toilet, and then go back out.
Love it.
To the floor, like to where all that is.
That's the best
and
way to
going,
do it.
Going between the stages, the app, sorry, it sounds like a real nerd thing to say. The app is brilliant, the Glastonbury app. So it tells you, oh, right, pyramid stage is 650 metres away. The other stage is 300 metres that way. It gives you a map, tells you which direction to go in. So you're navigating. You can go through the whole lineup, put your whole listing together of what you want to see, when you want to see it. And you can, then you can see it all in your own little timetable. Brilliant. But there is like, there's the main stage action, and then there's loads of little stage action. What I call just unknown people.
How many loads of stages would you say, other than the main stage?
There's probably like, I'm going to probably get it wrong, something like 6 to 8 big dirty stages. Right? Oh, wow. The pyramid is definitely, like the pyramid stage, you can't even get your head around because you look at it, and then you look back, and bruv, it's just like, it doesn't even look real. Your eyes can't fathom the sea of people. I looked at it and I said to my wife, I went, it's like the whole dunya is here. Because you know when you look out at the ocean and you just see water for as far as you can see?
Yeah.
It's like that. It literally, it's people as far as you can see. And then you're like, who stood there? Who stood, like a kilometre right back from this stage? It's just mad. And the tents, thousands and thousands and thousands of tents. And then caravans and the glamping but we were in, again, we were had like access to like the kind of the green room area. So it was a bit more space. Although actually, I will say that in general, it's not like you're stuck in between loads of people. There's place to move around. So Sacha, I was thinking of you because I thought if you don't want to be shoulder to shoulder, there's plenty of room where you can just go and sit and lie down. And even like the comedy tent that we were in the day, they were doing podcasts from there actually.
Oh, nice.
And people were in there because it was in the tent. It was shaded. People were just in there with their bag. Put their bag down, lying down on the floor, having a sleep.
Listen to the podcast.
Would you go to Glastonbury?
Yeah, do you know what? I've always wanted to go. I'd love to go, but I wouldn't.
How far would you stand away from the stage?
It depends what stage.
You wouldn't get in there amongst the people, would you?
No, I wouldn't want to do that. And I mean, there's two things that, like, you know...
Because I know I can't see you doing it.
I wouldn't want to be like in the middle of a mosh pit for one. And the second thing is, I wouldn't want to stay in a tent like that. I can't be doing that. They're the two. If I'd love to go Glastonbury, but if it's like, oh, you go Glastonbury and then you just, you know, drive 15 minutes up the road and you're in a hotel, I'd be like, yeah, cool, let's go. I'll go every day.
Okay. So because we have the caravan, and I will, sorry, and I should have pointed this out.
Did you shower in the caravan?
Oops. No, actually, because we showered before we got there.
Yeah.
We didn't rave. Yeah, we're hot and sweaty. But we just went to... Oh, so when I say we, it's me and my missus. So we... because it was our anniversary. 16 years, boys. 16 years.
Wow.
Last Friday. So we went there. And then it kind of fell on the anniversary. So I said, look, let's come along. Let's go along to it. And I'll be honest, Binny enjoyed it more than I did. She was like, we are doing this every year. Then she was like... And I know what she looked at me like, you know, you've got to go on Saturday because I had another job in Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
She goes, but we've got the caravan for the weekend. And she looked at me like... I could stay. She could stay and just rave it out. And I'm like, you can. She goes, no, I can't. Because she felt bad. But she's like, but next year, let's do this. So we looked into, oh, no, it's not next year. They're resting it next year.
It's a fallow year next year.
The year after next.
Oh, but, what? It's not anything.
No, they have a fallow fields year where
they're going to rest the fields.
Doing another field.
Take it to Punjab. I'm sure some Punjabis can go, I have acreage, no problem. How much is it? How much is it for a glamping tent?
Yes,
the one I saw was for just one double bed, so I presume it's for two people.
Yeah.
For the weekend, $4,000.
What?
Yeah,
It's a ridiculous amount. That's not Glastonbury, that's not everywhere. Isle of Wight, Latitude, all of these festivals.
Latitude, I think, was £1,500, I think, when I looked at it for the week, because I wanted to take the kids, because Latitude is more kid-friendly. And people have their kids in prams and stuff at Glastonbury.
It's funny that you're chatting to somebody who's going to be there and might be able to hook you up some tickets. We'll chat after
this. Lata Mangeshkar-tude. You can do that.
Yep.
I want to go latitude.
No, but Tommy, you have to share a tent with him. That's the
No, I hadn't promised you tents.
No, you have to share with him. You're sleeping in the same tent.
I'm going to wake up and be like, hey, Kedge, how's his tent being propped up when there's no pole? Kedge.
I know.
It's like planes, trains, and automobiles.
To hold it up all night.
Stamina, Danny.
Yeah.
But I got to say, it sounds so cheesy to say it like this, and I don't want to be one of those, oh my God. And there's loads of memes going around and videos, and I thought, shit, that's us. Because there's people going around, like, when corporate people go to Glastonbury for the first time, they're going, yeah, guys, it was really spiritual. But I tell you why it was nice and spiritual. There was no attitude. There was zero people giving it Larry Large. It's quite hippified, if anything. You know what I mean? It's quite earthy, crunchy, don't leave no litter. Everyone's
that's good.
Like I say, it's a bit corporate and hippified. It's like corporate, but they're all chilling. And there was and even I said to my missus, oh, we went and saw Busta Rhymes, right?
Ooh.
And I said to her, I said, oh, careful, because like this might break into a mosh pit. So we weren't right at the front, just in case it did, and it didn't. But by the way, can I want to add this in. The Busta Rhymes was great. Great to see. Of course, it is.
I watched it back on
Glastonbury. Busta Rhymes was brilliant.
Yeah. But the one that we went to was better. The concert, because we went to his concert, didn't we, 25 years?
Yeah.
That concert was, I think, because I wasn't expecting him to be so good. But
can I just say, I know you said that was better, but the production level of this was fantastic.
He had
Mariah in the back. And I thought, what was clever and how he changed. And this is what I really appreciated about it, was that he changed his set to work for Glastow and obviously the majority of white people who were there. Do you know what I mean? Because he didn't have his usual hip-hop crowd with him. It was slightly new crowd that you're doing. So he sang like, you know, the big bangers. Like, you know how he did that? All the tunes are going to get the majority white crowd people going. He did the Freddie Mercury track as well.
Yep. And him and his kind of co...
Spliff star,
were like they were good together. They were doing little bits together.
You know they're coming to my local park in a few weeks.
Well, Beckenham, take us.
Crystal Palace Park.
Take me
for
there.
What? For their own another
they're,
concert.
They're having their own concert with Redman.
Oh,
bro,
Busta Rhymes and Redman.
Come on, Saj, come on, hook it up
in South London.
I have to go. It's walking distance. Right? I can hear Busta from my bathroom.
You pretty busted one out in your bathroom as well.
He is showtime. He really
Busta
is
can hear
showtime.
You. And it is. It's because it's just so many hits. Anyway, my whole point is.
Can I just also, while you're still on Glastow thing, can I just say that I watched Charlie XCX's set, right? She's like the woman of the moment. And firstly, I didn't know. I knew she had some Asian heritage, but I didn't realize it's as blatant and as obvious as that her mum is Gujarati and was from Uganda. Her dad is a Scottish fella. She's very Desi. I thought it was just somewhere along the lines that she might be a little bit, you know, Desi. But her mum is Gujarati, and so she acknowledges that she's Gujarati. But her set was brilliant. And I am all about a brat summer. I know I'm year late.
Did she bring out Falguni Padak?
No, she didn't. But she could be the first to bring Garba onto the pyramid stage, but she didn't. But her set was incredible. And she has got bangers. Like, absolutely, give it a go. Because it's very much that sort of house kind of raving music. Some of them, like, you know, if you like Busta Rhymes, all this kind of stuff. And she is brilliant, brilliant performer. And she really owned the stage. So actually, you know what? I am a new convert to Charlie XCX and the Bright Summer.
Falguni XCX has got a ring to it. I'm just saying.
That could be something that Ram Gopal Verma's working on, some sort of dodgy Bollywood film.
Brilliant. Great time. There were very, very few Asians there. And the kind of Asians that were there were the Asians that don't follow...
the Brownload.
Definitely not. but also don't follow the Asian scene. They like their band music and all that. You know, that it was a different kind of that. However, one person followed
the Bombay Bicycle Club. That's as close as you're going to get to this.
Yeah, it's that ADF sort of type live music person who wants that kind of thing. But regardless of that, it didn't matter that it wasn't there or was there, you know, who was there and that, because I think the people that were there were lovely people and it all kind of came together beautifully. I tell you what I met as well. I saw Nish Kumar, you know, comedian Nish Kumar. He was doing a little comedy set as well. What's that show that they're on? Never mind the Buzzcocks. Taskmaster. Taskmaster was doing a live show there. So that big, tall Greg guy, Greg Davies, was there. And James Acaster, I got to meet him. Do you know, James Acaster is one of my funniest comedians ever. I like people that are sort of funny just when they're just talking. And he's got this kind of weird way of talking, like a bit of a lisp. And he just sounds funny. I don't know what it is. So he was there. They did a DJ set. And I thought of us, I thought we could so do that. They just played party songs and danced around on stage like dicks. They weren't mixing it. And they went, we don't know how to mix. We haven't learned how to mix. They did the DJ set last year. It went down really well. And you can
probably
imagine.
Can get his flamenco moves on, Satch, while he's
I can get my flamenco moves. They picked a song each. They were just kind of going. So imagine all three of us just kind of picking a song each. We've got to get the Brownlow there, do the podcast in the day, do a DJ set at night, just mixing up with whatever. Be beautiful.
Love it.
Yeah, it's not my flamenco music, isn't it? So that was that. Wolverhampton for Year Dorsty. I did my solo show in Birmingham.
Where did you meet Ben Stokes?
Oh, that was in Birmingham. So bloody hell. So okay, I'll put it up on my Instagram story if you saw it there. This is a bit of a beastie actually, but I'll tell you the truth. So I got to the hotel late on Saturday night because I'd done a Wolverhampton gig. And then I'd gone from Glastonbury straight to Wolverhampton, done the event, and then from Wolverhampton went straight to Birmingham ahead of my show the next day. So I'm checking into the hotel quite late, about 10:30. And I noticed in front of me, I was half asleep, I was tired, I'm a bit frazzled from, you know, Glastonbury and all that as well. And I noticed that there were some very tall men in front of me. And they looked athletic tall. I tell you what that reminded me of. They reminded me of the Spurs football players that I used to see in the gym. And Spurs players seem to be tall. I don't know why I'm going to say that. Like
at that time, there were a few tall ones.
Do you know what I'm talking? Yeah. So it just kind of felt like football players in my head. But I didn't, bloody like an idiot. I didn't think nothing of it. I knew nothing about India and England playing each other. I just wasn't on my radar like that, right? That where I wasn't as well. So then I see these guys kind of checking in. I check in as well. And then somebody else comes in. And they checking in with a pram and a wife, husband and wife with a pram. And he looked tall as well. And then I followed, as I was walking, the person with the pram, the cricket player with the pram, went into the lift. And I hung back because I thought, I'm not going to get into this one. Like, they've got the pram, they've got their luggage, you know, there's
freaking room there.
Like, I'll wait. And then I waited. And that's when Ben Stokes turned up to get into the lift as well. There was a tall, skinny Indian guy that came out the lift. And Ben, I remember Ben, and I looked at the Indian guy. He looked young, but he was tall, taller than me, like 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", that kind
of thing. That was Shubman Gill.
No, it was Ash, because he went, what's up, Ashy? And he shook his hand, right? So I don't know who Ashy is, but he looked very young. So I don't know if he was part of the team or what. Right? And then me and Ben, I stood there, and we get into the lift, and I went, like a dick. I feel like such a
dick. Oh, you didn't.
I did. I went. I said, bloody hell. I said, you boys are all tall boys. I said, what's the sport? And he went, cricket. I went, all right.
God.
I said, are you on a
line? Tommy's a guy.
Bruv, I swear on my life, this is a conversation.
If he turned around and say, oh, we played Kabaddi, you would have just accepted it.
I would have gone, oh, sick, and just gone it, right? So, and I did, I looked up, because he had a lot of tattoos on him, Ben. He had tattoos on his leg.
Yeah, yeah.
And he looks quite, He looks quite hard. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's like a leaner, slightly meaner looking Harry Kane in a way. Can I say that? Mm. Like, you know that?
Yeah,
that
kind
of look. Like Harry's, they can almost be brothers. Like
Harry looks like an angel compared to Ben Stokes.
Like, but it's like, you know, the good and the bad.
He looks like a bad boy version of Harry Kane.
Yeah.
But he was sweet as anything, by the way. He was super lovely, and he tolerated my idiocy coming up. So I go, What's your boy's sport? Like, what are you playing? And he went, cricket. And I went, right. I said, so you on like a tour? And he went, yeah, something like that. Right? And he went, and then he goes, and I went, so who do you play for? Expecting like Surrey or Hertfordshire,
one
of them.
England, bro.
And he went, England.
Right? I wish I was there for this.
Swear on my life, right? And I go,
What do you do?
And I go, what? England. He went, yeah. I went, sorry. I said, what's your name? And he went, Ben. I went, Ben who? And he went, Ben Stokes. I went, oh, bloody hell. I said, Ben, I'm so sorry. And he went, no, he started laughing. He goes, no. He goes, don't worry. I said, oh, my God. I said, I just don't follow it properly. I said, but ironically, I said, Ben, I've worked with the Bharat Army. I said, we sing songs about you. And he laughed, right? And I went, I'm so sorry. And he went, no, don't worry. I went, can I grab a picture? And he went, of course you can. So that's when we took the snap.
Then
I jumped. If you look, it's in the lift. So I was obviously jumping out on my floor and he was going up a bit further.
That is hilarious.
But he was cool as anything. So it was a bit of a celebrity weekend. It's like Richard Blackwood, James A. Caster, Nish Kumar, Greg Davies, and then Ben Stokes as well.
Me and Kedge.
Oh, yeah. And you and Kedge. Now you and Kedge. By the way, yesterday I got cast for a voiceover. That's why I couldn't record it yesterday. And the person, I think I can say this, because it's my first...
let me guess.
My first singing role. I did an audition. I got cast for my singing. How about that? Right?
But I thought you were going to say they wanted a news anchor for the English cricket sports program.
Yeah, they need someone to recognise English cricket players when they arrive in India. And they said, you're the guy because you know them all off by heart. Which one are you again? And then, but the people behind it are like the same people that did Bob the Builder. And all that kind of stuff. So I'm working in a studio yesterday with the people behind Bob the Builder, literally singing, being given singing direction. This week has just been something different. So that's my excuse why the podcast.
What a week, Tommy! What a week, either. You dressed up as a religious person in the film. You told us you're flamenco dancing, and now you're singing.
Do you want to say a few choice and apt words about the video that's on our WhatsApp group, which obviously no one else would have seen unless in our WhatsApp group. And can I just say, since you've put that video into the WhatsApp group, our followers have increased quite a lot.
Oh, really?
So if you want to get onto that and you're not on our WhatsApp group, then find somebody who can share the link.
Because I put it in the WhatsApp group because I was too sort of scared in a way to put it up online.
It's no holds barred in there. Anything goes.
Yeah, exactly. This WhatsApp group should get us sacked. The other one should not have. I'll be honest. Now I'm like, you know what? You want to see what sacked? Okay, now actually this wasn't that bad. Well, this wasn't me. So what I put in the WhatsApp group was, yes, it was the morning after Ben Stokes. Hey, maybe it was Ben Stokes. Who knows? But it was the morning after Ben Stokes. And obviously it was really hot and sunny. And like an idiot, I didn't close the curtains in the hotel room. And the sunlight coming in was like, literally tanned me in bed. Right? I'm lying there and I'm woken up by the sunlight. And then I'm woken up by the noises I could hear next door in the hotel room. Ooh. Now, the hotel room I had an interconnecting door. Obviously, it was locked, right, on both sides, whatever. But through the interconnecting door, you could hear quite clearly, quite bloody clearly, two people going at it. Right. And I recorded it and I put it in the WhatsApp group.
You did.
That's what you need to say.
Oh, by the way, somebody else came to me. Somebody went, oh, how do I get on your WhatsApp group? And it was after a show and I was, you know, I'm sorry. It sounds like I'm some sort of celebrity and I'm not. But, you know, people were coming up to me for like photos or whatever, or coming up after a show and saying stuff. And then someone came and goes, by the way, how do I join the WhatsApp group? And I was like, listen to the podcast. Kedge will tell you. So, go.
Well, the thing is, you can search for it. So if you go into WhatsApp and if you go to, you know, the bottom bit where it says updates.
Let's have a go.
I think you can, if you type the Brownload, you might be able to find it there in chat.
So if you just go into your WhatsApp app. At the bottom, it's got chats, calls, whatever. And on the left-hand side, it's got updates.
Yeah.
And then what, so you just type in Brownload into that.
See if you can find it like that. If not, you're going to have to wait until we post a link up.
It's on our link in bio.
It's on our Instagram page. Have a look at it.
So if you go to the Brownload Instagram and at the very top, we know what it says, you know, we're a podcast for South Asians, whatever it says at the top there. Underneath that, there's a little link. And on that link is loads of links to how you can listen. And our WhatsApp link is there. But I didn't get those words out in time to say to that lovely person that came in. Oh, on that note, I said to this person, I would not forget to give them a shout out because... They've come and seen me loads of times. They've come to the live podcast. They've travelled to see us loads as well. And they are... Oh, how could I forget the name? It's Binny. It's my wife. The woman's name is the same as my wife's.
Oh, wow.
So it's Binny and her husband, Bhavni. No.
What?
What am I talking about? It was two people, Bhavni and Binny. There was somebody, there was a husband who came up to me as well. But hi to Bhavni, hi to Binny at Glee Club who came over and are loyal listeners. And if you are really loyal, join a WhatsApp group. You'll just get a little bit extra bakwas in there that we don't put up. Like, look, I can't, literally, I've recorded a video of the two people going, hi, and all this stuff from the bloody next door room. I can't put it on my Instagram. Like, I got my sisters on there. You know what I mean? Like, I got, like, you know, I got my nieces.
Well, they're also on the Brownlow group, probably, yeah, anyway, probably. Tommy.
So. But, you know, that's a bit different. And then, I ain't going to lie, then I was awake, right? And then I'm listening to what they're saying.
Right. Oh, okay.
Shall I tell you the conversation? Shall I tell you what I heard? Do you want to know?
Go on.
So then I heard, obviously, they finished. And then they got in the shower. And weirdly, I could hear everything. So then I'm looking at where the interconnecting door is.
Like, literally, why didn't you just open the door?
Well, no, because I'm looking where my interconnecting door is, and my shower is right in front of it. So I'm thinking, if it's a mirrored room, their shower must be right in front
on
of their
the other side,
door,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, but then I'm thinking, but I can hear the Barney running. So they've got that shower door open, right, and they're showering. And I can hear her, the girl, saying, no, 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 don't use the big overhead shower. I can't get my hair wet. I don't want to get my hair wet. Right.
Right.
I thought, yeah, I understand. Not that I understand that, but I hear that when girls get in the shower, you know, like,
isn't
no,
it frustrating though? You know, when you just want to turn the top shower on,
yeah,
it's just,
like,
I mean,
nah,
it's one of life's really frustrating things, that, you know,
yeah,
not turning the top shower on. And also, you know, the fact they kept the door open, you know, the splish, splash, splosh of all
right
of that water everywhere.
Horrible.
How can
then,
you live like that in a room?
After the shower, they started again.
Oh.
Yeah. And
all
I was
right
like,
there's a part two.
And then I'm there sitting there thinking, yeah, but you've had a shower now. You're, like, you can have another shower. And then I just left and went to the gym about 8 o'clock.
Yeah, maybe that's a better idea. Maybe that's a better idea, Tommy.
Felt,
yeah.
Honestly, I felt
off
like the audio version of a peeping Tom. I was a listening Tom. That's what
yeah
I was.
Yeah.
Do we want to have a little stab at what kind of ethnic race they were?
White. They were white. I could tell by the noises.
Okay.
Oh, but he's experiencing the noises. Brilliant.
The chat was, you know, I think it was Gordon chat.
So while you were sort of, you know, traveling the whole country last week, and I mentioned it a couple of weeks on the podcast, is I had jury service. So it's all done now.
Oh,
so I can actually chat about it. I can't obviously speak about what I did, but it was interesting. You know, never done it before. And,
yeah,
you know, it was just something different to do. And it was quite nice in a weird sort of way. Apart from when you're sat in the waiting room and an Indian lady comes and sits next to you, puts her feet on the table with her feet out. And you're just like, why? What is this behaviour?
There you go.
Why are you doing this?
But I also think you're the perfect person for jury service, because the
mean
person who will walk in, like the person who's on trial.
I wanted to say she was guilty and she was part of the jury.
No.
I was just like, you lock her up.
Satch, you would just look at them and go, guilty. Yeah,
he looks
like he's done it.
Nah,
fuck that.
You can't say that, mate. You can't say that.
Okay, yeah, but sorry. So before you even got into the trial,
yeah, no, because obviously
crimes against feet and tables.
Honestly, there's a lot of waiting around. Like, I mean, for the first week, I waited around for one whole day. Then they sent me home for the week. The second week, I was there and I just sat around again for 2-3 days doing nothing. But they just, I don't know why, like, you know, there's not that many brown people there anyway. It's mostly white and a handful of black people. And I'd say even half of that number for brown people. I've maybe counted about 4 brown people that were doing jury service. And the one lady was just there, took
but
her
how
feet
how many's the jury? Sorry.
Oh, no, there's about 100 people. And then you get called, and then you get called to different cases.
From the subs bench?
Yeah, you get called off a bench, basically. It's like, oh, your name's called up. Then you go and do the... And if you don't get called, you just sit there.
Oh, so okay, so you're in like a holding area.
Basically, but, yeah.
And then they'll just draft you if you're
that's it,
needed.
when they need you. And then, you know, she's sat there, got her feet out, she's eating her disgusting food, she's coughing, not putting her hand over
she
her feet.
She got
and
her
you know
feet
what
out? What do you mean she got her feet
she
out?
Just took her slippers off and put them on the table. And I'm just like, people are using this table to write, you know, their forms, they're filling out expenses. And she's just got her crusty feet on the table. And do you know what? I just looked there and I thought, this is why we hate it.
Yeah.
It's why we hate
did
it. It's
you,
so
did
horrible.
You tell her anything?
Horrible.
Did you tell her?
No, do you know what I did? I got up and left because I couldn't handle. She was just she was coughing all over the place, and then she was on a call to flipping India and stuff like that. I'm just like, the whole room can hear you. Just
on
like,
loud,
what,
on loud.
What, yeah,
voice,
it was,
voice. Yeah.
Honestly, it was really disappointing. Like
she
as
needed,
much
she,
as
she needed to turn into that Dal Chawal woman on the tube.
It was as bad. It was as bad as that. You know, you can't film in a courtroom. Otherwise, yeah, that would have been viral because it was just disgusting. Honestly,
but exciting case. Did you have a good case?
Not really, compared to what you know other people say. They've kind of, but it was interesting because you know we've never. The best part of it is when you have to go into like a deliberation room and all 12 of you have to sit there and talk about, you know, and
because I was going to say, because people are nervous. P. Diddy's been let off all his crimes, so I was just wondering, is there a correlation there?
No, that wasn't our case. But you see how nervous people are in making a decision, and that was one thing, because some people were just like, oh yeah, but I need to see the evidence again. Like, we saw it six times in the courtroom. Like, what do you mean? And then they're just like, oh no, but we can't make the wrong decision. I'm just like, can we get on with it? I want to go home.
Yeah, guilty.
No, I'm not saying what it was. I'm just saying, I just want to get home. Just make a decision. Do you know what I mean? Like, stop faffing around.
Yeah.
So that
would have really annoyed Saj. Can you imagine going around a table? He gets annoyed with us two trying to figure out how to do things. But imagine with the whole table of people.
Oh, honestly.
Sitting there going, these guys are longing it out.
It's so long.
No, but also, if you put in that person, you know, the kind of the anti-Satch, if you put in with him, like someone who's just like, yeah, but I think...
It was that. It was that. Satch,
but,
it was that. It was exactly that. Do you know what? To be fair, there was 12 of us in the jury, and I'd say two of them were like that. And the rest of us were just like, you know, when you go around the table... We were just bang, look at them, verdict, there you go, done. Yeah. You know, like we didn't have to mess around. Everyone was just going around the table going, yep, whatever the verdict was. And, you know,
was it in South London as well? Was it near you?
It was in central London-ish.
Okay. Was it a South London crime?
South London, but central London.
Then they're probably guilty. Yeah.
Honestly, you can't say that.
You can't say that.
Kedge, what have you been doing apart from hanging around with me on a rooftop?
Yes, I was hanging around with you on the rooftop, and I've got to say, I've never seen Pete Doherty. It was Pete Doherty from the Libertines who was there, and
former Amy Winehouse boyfriend.
He was, yeah,
and Kate Moss as well. I think it's Kate Moss.
Kate Moss. Sorry, yeah.
So he's been through.
Yeah, of course it was. Yeah, it was like Kate Moss. Yeah, I knew it was a celebrity. Yeah. You know what? Because they've been seen in those North London pubs where Amy Winehouse was. That's my connection in my head. Kate Moss.
I know. And you know what? I'm not like, I don't really know his songs or anything. But you know what I've got to say? Firstly, lovely guy. He's been through ups and downs. You know, and we all know. You know, you've got to go through the lows to actually experience the highs, and you learn, and from there, and you know, he's been through all that. And he was banging out his tunes, and yeah, he was a very good performer. Satch was there.
He was good. Do you know what I like the most about him, Kedge? He took photos with everyone there. And I was just like, do you know what? Like, he's it's very good to see that from a star like that.
Yeah, because, you know, we have our, sort of, sometimes we have our two-bit, you know, pop stars in this country, Asian artists who, you know, no, you're not taking photos with me.
Here we go.
He was there. And he, you know what? He was walking around topless on the 14th floor, walking around, you know, the canteen and everything, topless, just playing his little guitar, taking photos of people. I thought, what a rock and roll star. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I was hanging out with that. Satch was brilliant, by the way. Played the tunes in the heat.
Of course he was.
Never easy, but he obviously delivered on that as well. And it looked fantastic. So that was good. The only other thing, really, that I wanted to bring to the podcast this week, because, again, it's irked me a lot. Have you seen the new Andrex advert?
No.
Okay. So previously,
why is Tommy laughing? Brown...
I'm letting you speak because I did see it, and I'm so glad you brought it up because I would have forgotten. But I
haven't seen
it.
Come on. Tell me about it.
Previously on the Brown Load, Kedge got really annoyed because Andrex decided to change their marketing and advertising campaign. And then, do you remember there was that Indian woman in the office?
Yeah.
Who has to do the walk of shame with a bog roll. And I just said, it's racist. Mm. Why have they done it? Out of all the people, because you never see an Asian person on the advert, but they've got the Asian person who's done a smelly fart and then they have to go and go for a dump. Right?
Yep.
So
I still think it's hilarious. I still think it's hilarious, by the way.
Okay. Well, listen, look, we're in a different era now. It's not funny anymore. So basically,
do you mean it's not funny anymore? You're telling me to stop laughing?
Yeah, you're not allowed to laugh, Satch.
I'm not allowed to. Guilty.
So I thought by now that message would have gone to them loud and clear because it was uproar, and the Brownlow listeners agreed with me. So the latest one, having taken on all that feedback from Andrex and the people who work at Andrex, are you listening, Andrex? Because this is a proper call out. You've gone and made a new advert, ooh, which is in a school.
Right.
In a classroom.
Right.
Someone does a little bud. Who is it? The Asian fella.
Yeah.
The Asian kid does a bud, and then he has to walk on a, well, he's on a skateboard, and he goes down the classroom and the hallway with a toilet paper. Every single child is looking at him while he goes for a dump. And I'm like, this is brilliant. This has now just set us back even more. Because forget the office environment. Now it's the smelly Asian kid in school. And we've all been there at school. We've all been bullied. And it still goes on now. It's hard enough, you know, if you've got to wear a turban or whatever it is that, you know, because it makes you look different. Maybe you're in a headscarf, whatever it is. And I'm like, they've picked the Asian kid again. Why have they not gone for the blue-eyed, golden-haired child in this? They always put them in all the Asda adverts and all of the white family and everything else, but they've got the Asian kid who has the butt and has to go to the toilet. I'm smacking the table because this has got me angry.
No, and I was borderline triggered if I wasn't already so destroyed as a soul, then I would have been upset by that. But let me tell you why it got me as well. Because I'm like, the kid is in that classroom. It wasn't like there's a whole classroom full of Asian kids.
No.
There's one brown boy.
And one. That,
right? And when I was at school, there were a few Asian kids, but I was the chubby kid. I was a fat kid in class, right? Mm. So you're very aware of that when you're at school, right? And therefore, this kid is a chubby kid. He's a handsome boy. I'll give him that.
Like,
all that. But it brought back my memories of kind of going, hold a minute. You're the chubby kid, mate, and now you're daddy shaming him by making him carry the toilet roll in front of his whole classroom and go up and do a poo. And I think that the end line was like, so the strap line of the advert is like, you know, enjoy your life's little moments. Like, go and have a nice poo with a nice bit of Andrex. But I'm like, no.
There must be one Asian person who works at Andrex. Someone who works at Andrex. Can you give us a contact? There must be someone who listens to us and knows somebody who works for Andrex. Because this is the kind of thing that, you know, Tommy should be out there on GMB, you know, having this debate and letting people know. Because I don't see why this is just goes. Every other little thing is always just, you know, made into a big debate. This is the thing that you've just made it so difficult for Asian kids. As it is, it's hard enough, you know, at school. And you've just made it even harder now.
There you go. They're going to go, oh, look, he's gone for a little Indian runny poo. So he's probably got diarrhea.
Yeah. Oh, smelly. Oh, he must have had a curry last night. Oh, yeah. Stop laughing like a naughty kid in the background.
Give him the Andrex.
I'm not laughing.
Yeah. Everyone be like, yeah, get the Andrex out. Or they'll probably call it Gondrex or whatever, just to kind of like tease him about it.
Honestly, it's really wound me up. That's what I've got to say. I thought I'm only going to contribute one thing this week, and that is it.
Brilliant.
It's done me. It's really annoying.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I can see that, and you're not alone. You're not alone of all the representations. Right, so we're going to make this a quick one because we want to get it uploaded. So should we do the things we've learned?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I've actually got a couple of good ones, but I'm going to save them for another time. So I'm going to kick things off with linking to the toilet, only because of what you just said. That I didn't. I mean, I think now when I say this, you're going to go, "Yeah, everybody knew that. Everyone knows that." But I don't think everybody does it. And particularly not when I tell you why you should be doing it. But do you know that you're supposed to close both toilet lids when you flush the toilet? You're supposed to seal it and flush the toilet.
I only do that, otherwise you get a splashback.
No, well, forget the splashback, because this is what I've heard from a proper doctoring person, that it can spread airborne microscopic plumes of droplets that carry viral infections. So next time, whenever you flush the toilet, close the lid, both lids, so it's sealed, and keep it all moving in there. Don't open the lid. But I think that's the thing, that it's one of those silly little things that a lot of people kind of go, oh, we just flush the toilet and walk away, leaving the lid up. Close the lid. You're supposed to do that. That's why that lid
you
is
should
there.
Be doing that anyway.
You should be doing that.
You don't need a doctor to tell you that. Come on.
Yeah, but do you do that? Every time?
I always close the lid every time I finish and then flush. And it was fascinating to see people who don't even shut the lid.
I'll be honest, I don't.
Oh, well, you need to.
I never have done.
Need to be a lid closer, mate.
Are you a lid closer, Satch?
Yeah.
Full lid closer?
Full lid closer.
I just don't want to see it. I just think it's just you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, but I need to make sure it's gone, because it doesn't always go first time.
Whether you can open it, check, and then flush it again, isn't it?
Then you got to touch the lid more.
Man wants to put CCTV inside the toilet. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. What do you mean? I want to see it's gone. Yeah, what, do you want to put someone in it? Do you know what I mean? I don't get it.
Clear toilet.
Can I go next? The thing that I learned this week is, and you know, I don't know how I feel about this, but and I did put it into our little WhatsApp group that we have.
Yeah.
And it is the fact that India, Ahmedabad in particular, are planning to bid to be the host city for the Olympics in 2036.
Yeah.
If they get it, we're going. That's my trip.
Oh, in 12 years' time.
Wait, that's my trip to the Gujarat.
You can stay around. You can stay around. I've got stay family houses there. Family houses there. We can
Airbnb running. Room. Yeah, okay, fine.
Absolutely. I ain't going.
Come on, Sam. Why are you being like that?
I ain't going.
It'd be brilliant.
I tell you why, Satch. If they get it, you know what they do. They go on in. They do loads of work around the town, shops, this, that.
To be fair, Ahmedabad or Ahmedabad is actually quite modern anyway. There's been a lot of work that's gone into it. So it's pretty new, pretty decent. Satch, don't make faces again. You're at the back of the class. You're making funny faces today, Satch.
Yeah, sorry, miss. You came in late and being disruptive.
Yeah, exactly.
He called some Billy Smellier as well.
Yeah. tell old Flamenco Smellier.
No, I think it's a great shout. I think, you know, if they get it, I mean, why not? Why not? You know.
Do you know what it is? I mean, you know, let's just see how it pans out. I'd like to see if it actually gets it.
Okay. Well, I think it'll be interesting. All right. Well, my one, sticking to India, then, my one is that. And that is that, you know, obviously the quest is still, the hunt is still on for the first Indian footballer. Right, or Asian footballer in the Premier League. Well, let me tell you about this. But back in the day, there was an Indian footballer who could have been playing in the top tier of football. And I didn't know about this. But his name is Junni Goswami. Right? He led India to the Asian Games gold in 1962. And then shortly after that, Tottenham Hotspur offered him a trial.
Yeah.
To be the T-man.
No. To play, because he was so good at the Asian Games. He then declined the offer from Tottenham Hotspur in England.
Ooh. I can see that.
Because he says he'd have behaved.
I've got a better life than a dirty little village with no money and no clothes.
He says that he didn't want to leave his people, club and town. So he spent his whole career like basically playing back in India.
Yeah, exactly. He played for the Rajkot Rovers.
Yeah, for me, Spurs is a backward move.
The team was known as Mohun Bangan, and he retired there.
What do we want? Bangan. How many do we want? Mohun. Right. You know what we need to do? We need some Mohun Bangers. Satch, you need to play some Mohun Bangans when you're DJing.
So there we go.
I heard Mohun Bangan next door in my hotel room.
He could have been the first to move to Tottenham and open the doors for many a South Asian, but he didn't. So there we are. That's the story.
Brilliant.
Well Junni Goswami.
Goswami?
Junni Goswami.
He just thought, I'm not moving to Tottenham. I don't blame him.
That's hilarious. That's great.
So there we go.
We better get this podcast uploaded because the people are waiting.
They are.
So we're all together next week.
Are we
somewhere? Hopefully.
Yeah, somewhere. We'll figure it out.
Somewhere. All right. Until next week then, boys. Cheers. Nice one. Laters.
Laters.
Laters.